cayó al mar, que no pudo volar. Yo te invito a mi vuelo y buscamos juntos el mismo cielo.
Welcome back. This is Manuel Criollo. I'm here with my co-host Tammy Bang Lu. You're listening to the Voices from the Frontline segment at 4 o'clock on KPFK 90.7. On June 8, 2001, five Cubans living in Florida were convicted in federal court in Miami. Gerardo Hernandez, Ramon Lavino, Antonio Guerrero Rodriguez were convicted of conspiracy to commit espionage and conspiracy to act as unregistered foreign agents. Fernando Gonzalez and Rene Gonzalez were convicted of conspiracy to act as an unregistered foreign agent, and Gerardo Hernandez was also convicted of conspiracy to commit murder in the deaths of four pilots belonging to the right-wing Cuban-American group Brothers to the Rescue. The Cuban government has consistently maintained its sovereignty rights and obligations to defend itself from terrorist and criminal actions arranged, announced, and launched against Cuba by U.S.-funded and supported right-wing Cuban-American organizations. With us today is Rafael Anglada, a lawyer from Puerto Rico who sits inside the Cuban Five legal team, who will give us an update on the Cuban Five case.
Welcome, Rafael.
Yes, thank you very much for the invitation.
Yes. So would you just bring our listeners up to date? What are the main points of contestation and the main discrepancies of the case, particularly around the issue of the change of venue? We understand that the jury trial was held in Miami and that the 11th Court of Appeals case was also held in Miami.
Yes, it could be said that the most sociological issue that we have raised before the 11th Circuit of the Court of Appeals that sits in Atlanta, Georgia, is the matter of change of venue. Of course, Miami was the worst and the probably the only absolutely no-no venue to try these five Cuban patriots that were trying to preserve the national integrity and the national sovereignty of the Republic of Cuba. Even in the Oklahoma City massacre, the court gladly changed venue from Oklahoma City to Denver. And that's the best example we can give as to places that are not, I would say they are not kosher, they are not suitable to try cases like in this case, the Cuban terrorist leadership against the Cuban Revolution are all based in Miami, Florida. And although we cannot say that the entire Cuban population in Miami is against the Cuban Revolution, we cannot say that, but certainly the terror that prevails among the Cuban counter-revolutionaries impacts the entire Miami population, either Cuban or non-Cuban. But in addition to change of venue, there are some very important issues that are before the Court of Appeals. There is a count three that it's a conspiracy to commit a murder that was charged against Gerardo Hernandez, precisely the one defendant that is closer to you. He is now detained at the U.S. Penitentiary in Lompoc, California, west of Santa Barbara, off Camino Real, nearby Sierra Madre. And there's also another very important count, and that is count two, conspiracy to commit espionage. Needless to say, neither murder, neither espionage was ever committed, not even a conspiracy was ever fulfilled, if you will. The government admitted at the time of trial that espionage never occur and that murder never occur. That is why they always use this North American juridical creature of a conspiracy to commit, and that's the way of placing you on the wagon. As to the count for conspiracy to commit espionage, there are other matters that are before the court, namely, even if count two prevails, there is an issue as to sentencing, namely, whether they should have been sentenced on the most aggravating sentence, or should they be sentenced on the most mitigating sentence, if the court finds that even if count two could have been committed, no grave injury to the national defense of the United States ever occur. There are other issues pending before the court. We appear before the Court of Appeals on March the 10th. That is precisely a very dreadful anniversary within the Cuban nationhood, when in March 10th, 1952, dictator Fulgencio Batista committed another coup d'etat against the Cuban people. And March the 10th is remembered among Cubans as a dreadful date. Nonetheless, we appeared that day before a panel, a very interesting panel, presided over by the younger member of the panel, is a 58-year-old jurist appointed precisely by President Bush Sr. And the fact that he was a member, a lieutenant with the special forces during the Vietnam War, and condecorated on four occasions, may provide him a very interesting view of the fact that these five Cuban patriots could never know the extent of what the Republic of Cuba was going to do in the full exercise of their national sovereignty.
So we're talking to Mr. Anglada, and you're going over some of the facts of the case and the state of the law.
Yes.
So you're telling me that the 11th Circuit Court, the hearing has just been completed. So based on their questioning, what was the judge's stance towards the case?
Well, to provide an opinion based on the questioning is always a very dangerous proposition.
Sure.
Because, as you may know, judges are used to ask intelligent questions, but sometimes if you advance an opinion of what the outcome is going to be, that is very difficult. But notwithstanding that, we have the impression that the judges had a correct sense of what the case was all about. And they asked the most important questions were, of course, on the conspiracy to commit murder, count three as to Gerardo Hernandez, and of course as to change of venue. One of the members of the appellate team, of course, was a well-known civil rights lawyer, Lenny Weinglass. I'm sure you're very familiar with his work and his life and his example to all lawyers in the United States. Two assistant federal public defenders also played a very prominent role in the appeal. Richard Klug, an appellate specialist, and Joaquin Mendez, a Cuban-born assistant federal public defender, who was actually one of the leading defense lawyers at the time of trial.
Hey, Rafael, you know, the Cuban Five case is a mass question inside Cuba and many places around the world. But, you know, we know that if you travel anywhere outside the country, you know that the United States is a very apolitical place. So could you give our folks listening and describe the international movement and the public support?
Yes, well, it will be very difficult to summarize in few minutes, but you're right. We have to provide more basic information. Back in September of 98, the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Florida arrested these five Cuban nationals, all of them between their early 30s and early 40s. Two of them U.S.-born. Their parents have been basically economic emigres to the United States during the Batista dictatorship years. And, of course, they flew back to Cuba, and they grew up in Cuba. And they were in Miami, and we admit that some of them, three of them, were in the United States illegally, and that is why there are a number of counts that we have never disputed. As a matter of fact, we brought to the attention of the court the defense of necessity. That means that sometimes you have to commit a minor crime, if you will, to place yourself in a position to defend your family, your country, or your person from a most profound crime.
Yeah, I mean, we're all aware that the United States government has committed many anti-terrorist
acts. Oh, yes. You know that during over 40 years of blockade, I mean, 40 years back in 98, Cuba has suffered over 3,500 casualties, not including hundreds of attempts against the life of President Fidel Castro, and hundreds of millions of dollars in loss of property and merchandise and crops and business and tourism.
Rafael, we know we're closing up, but one last question.
Yes.
We know that the decision should be coming in the next several months.
Yes.
And this timing is leading us into the elections. What
yes.
role do you think that plays, given that Bush has openly called for regime change, and this case in itself is an act of aggression?
Yes, but I don't expect that. I do expect that the decision by the court is going to come down quite before the elections. I hope that the ruling by the court would come sometime in either late spring or early summer. I think that we are before a very intelligent panel.
Okay.
So, very competent panel.
So just closing up, tell our listeners what they can do to support the Cuban Five.
Well, I am sure that whoever is listening to us understands that they have the option of joining any of the committees that that the North American supporters have been able to put together in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, and in other places across the United States. There are a number of sites, of websites. I don't have the websites in front of me.
We have one, www.freethefive.org. Thank you so much, Rafael.
Thank you very much. And that was the most important website.
All right. So we'll be right back with Veronica Obregón to talk, giving us an update on the case of Rosario Muñez.